I bring it with me to the shower. I can masturbate for hours.
Everybody, welcome to Music Swear By. This is the podcast where I, Tony, invite neighbors into my house to listen to music containing profana fuck. In the house tonight, we have neighbor Paul.
Hello.
Neighbor Dave is in the corner. He's not allowed to talk because he's recording. And very special guest, we have the band Kreinz Number 3. Did I say it correctly, gentlemen?
Yes.
Yay. We have John, we have Ryan, and we have Toby. Gentlemen, give us a hi.
Hello.
All right, so we are here to talk mostly about this band, debaucherous tales of the road and the rock and roll lifestyle. First thing, who the fuck is Kreinz Number 3? I mean, the band, the band wears their goddamn name, all right? What is that?
They really carry my pants is what they do. Wow. So I'm the third child of seven to come out of my mama's womb. And so it was important to distinguish me from my brethren, who also departed my mom's womb around the same decade.
Wow. I didn't think we'd be this far along. And 1 minute in.
Yeah. The bands have the same name, which is with a different number.
So right. I always assumed that there are three members of this band, so therefore, you know, we started off with Toby writing songs, we get the three members, boom, we are a cohesive group, but... Like that, it's named after your family?
No, in fact, I've totally cycled through band members since the start. Ryan and John came out in about 1996, and...
96?
Yeah,
wait, 2006. 2006. Oh, thank you. I was going to say, wow. Yeah.
2006.
All right. I didn't know I was a part of the band then.
All right, so now, Toby, shut the fuck up. I want to ask the boys right here. The band is named after the number three... Is it, no, I'm at Kreinz.
Kreinz.
I always want to say s. Anyways.
Yeah.
All right, anyways.
There's not a s.
It's named after the guy, and it's because he's the third musician in the group. So where do you guys rate in this whole equation? Come on, let's hear it.
Hired hands?
I
would think he's a douchebag, but he's a really nice guy. So. Like, why is this band named after you? Why does it have to be all about you? But he's a really nice guy.
So.
Yeah. All right, let me put you on the spot then, Ryan. If you could name the band right here and right now, what would it be?
Arnhold Number 4.
All right, then. Hey, let me just go over to John. John, if you can name the band.
O'Connor Number 1.
I like O'Connor 1.
Yeah.
I like that.
Wow, excellent.
Done, we changed it.
Sounds more like an Irish rock band.
People can pronounce O'Connor.
True.
Kreinz.
Good point.
Yeah. True.
I spent the last 4 years calling it Kreinz.
I had some asshole. I was looking for help on Craigslist like a couple years ago. I just put an ad on Craigslist. I was like, hey, does anyone want to help book gigs and like help manage this product that we have called Kreinz Number 3? And some asshole, I forget his name, but he was like some, probably, I don't know how old, but he's some like local promoter. He goes, you know, I'm happy to help, but I don't really like your band name, so you're going to need to change. I'm going, fuck up. You know,
I didn't ask for a goddamn opinion, right? I just need you to answer my phones and give me some good gigs. I totally know how that goes. Awesome. All right, so what I want to ask is, are you guys rich yet?
I would say
are you rich off of the band?
After the band.
All right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. Salaries and regular jobs aside, fuck all that. Are you rich off the band?
No.
We've paid some gas bills.
Bar tabs have been paid.
Bar tabs, yeah.
That's most importantly. Yeah.
That's good. So actually, you Toby, you share the door with these guys then, right?
Yeah.
Well, good.
So let me give you an example. Last time we... Well,
the door, yeah. People pay to see us?
This is a true story. Last time we played the terminal, we pretty much packed the place. Like, it was a good gig for us. We got $3.
Oh! What?
Wait, explain.
Yeah, how the fuck does that work? I mean, a place like that has to be charging at least $3 per head.
They were, and that's why we need a manager.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, if you were huge, you could actually go back and kick some ass and take some names.
Demand.
But
okay, I know you told me to shut the fuck up, but I got a question. Have you made more money off of the album or from shows?
Oh, shows.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's hard to believe.
You know, you play one or two good shows and you get a few $100 and or maybe $100, a few hundred off a few.
Wow.
Yeah, you're holding out on us.
What does one make off of a complete $9.99 download from iTunes nowadays?
I make 60%, 60 cents on the dollar.
All right. Reasonable, reasonable. Where does the other 40% go?
Goes 20% goes to iTunes and 20% goes to the middleman.
Is that for everybody? I mean, 20%?
Well, I don't know what deals the big labels have. Every indie artist, pretty much.
You can't tell me Arcade Fire is giving away 20% to fucking Apple.
Oh, they're giving at least that, I bet.
Seriously?
Arcade Fire is probably not getting anywhere near what I'm getting because they're on a label. Labels will take.
Well, yeah, but I mean, is Apple getting 20%?
Oh, at least, yeah. I bet.
Seriously?
I bet, yeah. They might, I mean, maybe they have a deal with the bigger labels where they take less or something, but.
Wow. First album. First album is If Howard Roark Could Dance, right? Now, are you guys involved in that? Toby, shut the fuck up. Pardon me. Pardon my French. Are you guys involved in that, or is it strictly you and the brothers? Toby, go ahead. Because these guys aren't talking.
I will say that I'd met Toby after he'd recorded, and he was ready to launch it. And I worked on a small team of people at Carlson that were working on his album release team. And so we booked a show, contacted media, basically got everything moving before the CD launched. And so,
wow.
So I did get to hear it before it was released. Yeah. But other than that, and Toby and I hadn't even jammed yet. So
yeah. Nice. Okay.
I think I got a copy of the CD.
That's right.
In the car.
In front of the
venue.
Okay.
And it was like, here's the set list. We're going to do a sound check, and I'm all set up, so we'll see in a little bit.
What bar was that? It was the one next to
Flying V, I think, right?
Big V's. Big V's on University. Wow.
Yeah, I think I had about a one shot through all the
I was sitting in the truck with John, and we put it in. I go, and I'm kind of like, we just listened to it, and
John, like, all right, let's do it.
And that's the thing that's what made John a viable option for the band. Like, after he played that gig, it was like, John, if you want the job, it's yours. Because it was a great gig for us. Great turnout.
We had another drummer before that, and then like his mom said he was grounded or something.
Dude, you're 22.
That's awesome. That sounds like, and I'm sorry, I'm very sorry, John, but all the drummers I know, the talented drummers, still kind of live with their moms. So that doesn't surprise me one bit. Jolie, I'm talking about you. Awesome. So actually, neither of you guys were on the album. Toby, it was strictly you and your brother. And tell us the story behind this. Digital Age?
Digital Age, yeah. So I wanted to record an album. And Noah's my brother. We've played in bands before. Like in high school, we played in a band called The Corrupt Senators. And had some great shows with them. And I decided I wanted to record an album, and I had, I always start with like 100 songs. So like, I've been writing songs for a long time. And so I started with 100 and I kind of narrowed it down, and I got to like, what kind of feel do I want on this? And, I heard this song that was played on the ukulele. I forget the girl's name who played it. She's like a local artist from Milwaukee or something. And it just like blew my mind because she was playing this, the swing rhythm. And the swing rhythm is really what drove the Roark album, because as soon as I heard that, I started writing all these swing tunes. And so like Looking Past Me was like the first one I wrote, and I was just like, God, I love this thing, this feel, this rhythm. And so then I just pitched it to Noah, my brother. I just go, hey, you want to record this album with me? I want some drums and bass. And so that's how it happened. And over the course of a few months, we started emailing tracks back and forth.
Yeah,
and
you've got to say Noah lives in what city at this
so
time?
So Noah lives in Los Angeles.
And you live in?
Minneapolis.
Thank you.
And so I would lay down the guitar parts and the vocals to a click track, and then email the tracks out to Noah, and he would record the drums, and we'd kind of piece them together. He emailed me stuff, and I'd be like, I like that. And we'd have this like 24-hour consulting thing where I'd get his drum parts. I'd be like, hey, can you change that? Can you make it more swing? And then he'd take them the next day and record them again. And
wow, nice. Awesome. That's pretty cool. All right, so off of If Howard Roark Could Dance, I'm going to play Speak. You like the song, Toby? What do you guys think of the song?
I love it. The more I listen to it now, probably because we don't play it so much, I listen to it and I go, wow, this is a fucking awesome song. It's like got a great rhythm and great, just a great cadence to it.
Yep. All right, so here we go. This is Krenz number 3 with Speak.
There's a younger hand, there's a Bible man, there's a light that shines on the darkest nights. A singer grooves with the Thundercat moves, a hooker soothes as a doctor would. Getting on down with the Scooby snack, you're getting a hooker to scratch your back. Drawing a line up in the sand, stealing the sound of your brother's band. You're telling all the lawyers to back that ass up. Listen to a person that won't shut up, making certain that the siren sounds. You're fine on all cylinders, at least the hound. And I know I'm gonna be what I'm gonna be. Anointing, a mess abound, it's all around, it's breaking us down, it's making us laugh. There's a revolution brewing with the resource snap. You can run inside, you can hide yourself, you can store your life up on a shelf. For all to see, for all to mend, for all the letters never sent. Lies be told in the sons of old, there's an evil governor, there are souls to sold. Dirty boots in a southern mansion, a dirty word with no explanation. Dead, I know I'm gonna be what I'm gonna be. Yeah, and I know I'm gonna speak what I'm gonna speak. Yeah, and I know I'm gonna speak when I'm gonna speak. The man will be all alone tonight. The man will be all alone tonight. The man will be all alone tonight. He'll steal you, rape you, leave you alone tonight. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I'm gonna be what I'm gonna be.
We go speak. All right. Hey.
Put down the guitar here.
All right, so I have heard it said, and again, I hate to just focus on the guy that's doing the singing, but I have heard it said, falsetto, off key,
yes, yes,
loud and obnoxious.
I've heard it all said.
Right. Yeah. What the fuck, man? I mean,
I'll tell you what I tell everyone else. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can swear by. Words to swear by.
It's my own goddamn music. Yeah, right?
You know what? Honestly, when I talk to my friends, because for a long time, everyone was giving me all this crappy feedback, and I'm going, for now, and my friends all know this, I go, if you have feedback, great. Only give it to me if it's positive. Yeah. I don't want to hear anything critical.
People criticize you at the show?
Yeah, you know, after the show, you come off stage, they're like, oh, that was good, but I didn't like that thing you did. Or, you know, like, it's like...
And do you ever ask him, you know, so how much did you pay to see this? You know, $6, fuck you. Like, no, your problem.
In our last recording session, Toby, and you shouldn't have told us you were doing this, but he said, I'm going to institute this policy where in order to give negative feedback, you have to give positive feedback first. And so we get done with the song, and he'd start out with, like, hey, John, I think you hit the skins pretty hard in that one. You knew that something bad was coming.
That's a really nice shirt.
You suck at drums.
So you guys have actually turned on each other? Because I have turned on a fellow musician in the studio. Just fucking count it off! So has that happened? Has it been a little persnickety?
I don't think so.
Good for you guys.
The only thing where my blood boils is where John's always got to be somewhere, so it's like we're recording the drums, and he's like, I got to leave it in 20 minutes. I'm going, fuck!
Yeah. Well, if he came up with, what's your price? $50,000? Yeah.
He's your drummer.
$3 per gig or something.
Yeah. Right. All right, so, and, you know, truly, falsetto is completely off, right? That is not falsetto.
That's not falsetto at all. And that's, I know. I take serious issue with that. I don't sing falsetto. That's so, actual singing. Like,
so yeah. If you're a hack music reviewer out there and you want to describe that as falsetto, fuck you, my man. All right?
That's right.
No, so
it's factually incorrect.
Yeah, good call. All right, so I kind of want to get into then the songwriting. Now, when I listen to the music of you guys, I tend to think that Toby's singing, and I've on this latest album, I've actually heard, who's doing the backups on that? Who's doing
Ryan did a lot of backups on it.
Mm-hmm.
My one of our producers, Ryan Bavery, sang a couple backups. My niece always sings. I try to get my family involved as much as possible. So on Rourke, my whole family sings at one point or the other. And in fact, there's parts where they're all singing, all nine of us, my immediate family, plus Samantha, my niece.
So that's this, who I hear, the little kid.
I'm giving a damn.
And so I always try to get as many voices. I love the human voice, mm-hmm. and I always try to get as many as possible on there.
Well, what I'm taking from it is that what you're singing about is actually true life stuff. It's from your experiences. True or false? I mean...
Very true.
Is any of that shit made up? Any of it?
No.
Oh, wow. Nothing.
Unfortunately.
That's a fucking burden, I imagine, right?
Lisa sings about a lot of ex-girlfriends.
You know, that's interesting. That's interesting Ryan brings that up, because I have right here the girls of Christ number 3. And I wanted to ask about the girls of the number 3. So we've got Nikki from Just Be in Duluth. We've got Liana and Katie from Monster, which are sisters?
They're sisters, yes.
But are girls.
They are girls, yes.
All right.
What kind of singing about them are you doing?
Well, it's just that they're going to kick these girls' asses.
Oh, that's, I remember. Yeah. Okay, now I remember.
So
just
we've
checking.
Also got Val from Val. We've got, is it Lauren from Leaving L.A.?
Leaving L.A. is Lori.
Lori, okay. Well, that's funny, because we've also got Lori from Lori Won't Get Out of My Way. But we've got Colleen from Colleen, the one that didn't come to the gig and broke your heart.
Yeah.
Oof. That's
She broke Brad's heart, my old drummer.
Oh, is that right? Okay, got it.
This is well before Crimes Number 3 existed.
Okay, gotcha. So then we've got the girl who looked past you on Looking Past Me.
Yeah.
That's a real girl?
Yeah.
The girl who wouldn't wait for you in Boulder, in the song Boulder.
That's Lori.
That's Lori. We've got the girl who it's not the same without. Payphone girl.
Because she lived in Boulder.
That's from the song It's Not the Same Without You Here. Wow, Lori made an impact, dude. Then we've got the girl whose love the preacher didn't understand.
That's
from
Nikki.
I Think It Might Be Evil. Nikki, okay.
Nikki, I like Nikki.
Is Nikki a... rather short Cambodian girl from Uptown? Because I think I know her, and I'm not kidding. It's not her, right? Okay, good. I just wanted to check.
If you do, it's sloppy seconds.
No offense meant. I just meant she's broken many a hearts of many a cool dudes.
Unfortunately, I don't know that, Dickie.
Okay. And then we've got the girl who wore your jammies after watching Back to the Future and ordering Pizza Luce from Tonight Was a Wonderful Night.
Mm-hmm.
You want to name names?
No.
Okay.
Was that funky sweater, purple sweater?
Yeah, I think it was funky purple sweater.
Wow, man. I mean, really, wow. I couldn't, my life is not that interesting on a yearly basis, man. I mean, trail of destruction.
You will know me by my trail of death.
You know, I have to give you kudos for putting that shit all out there.
Yeah.
So seriously, when do you gentlemen get to sing about girls? Never?
We don't have as much interesting stuff to say.
So, I've written a few songs before, and they get cut because they're not.
Really? Oh, let's explore this dynamic.
And honestly, they're just like, when it comes to lyrics, I'm like, Toby's a lyricist, and so like I'll write everything out, and Sibelius writes sheet music and everything. I'm like, this song's great, and like Toby writes off of it. Starts with the lyrics. It starts with basically the vocal melody, and he works around that. And so when we tried to combine powers, it's like, I have this amazingly intricate song that has to sound like this, and you have a lot of heartbreak, so...
Well, Ryan will show up with, like, 8 pages of, like, chord changes.
Yeah, he's the ESTZ, extroverts, you know, sensitive, whatever, organizational. Wow.
No, but Ryan does write some great music. He used to play in a band in Michigan that I love. They're called the Fullerenes.
Oh, really?
I pretty much know their whole catalog, and you know, I can sing the whole thing. They've got, what, 3 albums out?
Yeah.
Ryan's got, like, this I don't know if it's a sonic sense or something, but it's like he writes these long lines. Like, he's got a great sense of, like, chord progression, and it's like that band was not a pop band. It was, like, a great rock band, like a you know, it was like they had horns and stuff, but like the music was like, It was unlike anything I've ever heard, I think, but it was like still in the rock vein and very mainstream.
Which is why it never took off.
But it was like great melodies, great chord change. The chord changes are what really get me. Because I'm like when I just give you an anecdote here, like I played jazz guitar for 4 years in college, and I was really into the chunking rhythms and stuff, and I loved doing these chord changes, and Ryan's stuff blew me away. Like,
wow. Yeah. Interesting. Hmm.
Satan is a baby.
Satan is a baby who lives in the sun.
It's about the Teletubbies.
Wow.
Has anyone here driven a Geo Metro?
Yes.
He's got a song for that?
I mean, not on purpose, but...
Nobody drives it on purpose. You inherit that car.
Okay, what would one name a song about driving a Geo Metro?
Geo.
Should I sing some for you?
It's like GTO,
yes,
but
please,
a little less
please,
sexy.
Please, please, I want to hear it.
I'll see if I can remember. It goes, I bought with more thought. I was thinking it was pure gold. Now I think that it's not.
Oh, that's spectacular. All right, so hey, gentlemen, I want to hear a song.
Live.
The gentleman brought, I mean, what do you have over there? John, what do you have?
I don't like snares, brush sticks, and a hi-hat. That's
yeah, what, it. Is that what that cylindrical thing is, or that sort of UFO-shaped thing is?
That's it.
All right, a 4-string guitar and a 6-string guitar. What would you guys like to play? What have you, it's...
Monster? Let's do Monster.
Monster is probably my favorite off the new album. Mm-hmm. Knock us out.
We get a click or something?
If we, think the two, musical metric.
Three.
Passion! Wow!
Yeah.
Bravo!
Well done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let me just take a moment to recover, man. Clean out my drawers.
I appreciate it. I think for a song that had a good, healthy you know, like, daily amount of fuck in it. I think, you know, 100% of daily amounts of fuck. Mm-hmm. And I think there was maybe a shit in there. Mm-hmm. You know, there's, we maybe should have that.
I know,
like,
there,
you
was,
know, healthy
there was a
amount.
Too. A goddamn. I mean.
You got your goddamn, your shit, your fuck, your, you know, all
Toby
those,
peppered
have,
it up. I mean, that's not yeah. that's not the studio version. He peppered it up for
man,
sure.
We're on Music Swear By.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Take it when I can.
All right, so which girl is that song about?
I don't want to get into it too in depth, but when I sing it, there's this girl that I have in mind, and I, it's kind of weird because that's one that Liana wrote, and I'm not even sure like that's what my lyrics are about. So it's yeah, I don't even know.
Have you guys ever thought about all four of you combining, have like the Kreinz All Star Band or something?
No,
like
shit.
One through four. Or?
Yeah. Well, no. This is just a little. Maybe Liana. I'll be your future marketing manager. We're not going to call Kreinz numbers 1 through 4. You know, no, that's not going to be
right.
A good
okay,
name.
But
I won't.
You're thinking of Family Band, though.
Yeah.
What like, would happen? What would happen?
All-Stars.
Well,
I mean, of course, Ryan and John will get completely fucked from the deal, but
there's. I changed my name.
Hey, wow, you're in for the long haul. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, if we can hook up 1 and 2, I'm in. That's where the real talent is.
Change your last name. Fuck it.
The interesting thing is, like, so I played in a band with 1 and 2, Nate and Noah. And I've played in a band with Katie Beth. We all have different tastes, and Nate and Noah, I don't think I could play in a band with both of them in the same band. I could probably play in a band with either of them, but when they played, they led the spank band, and I was kind of like a pawn to be moved around. And,
you were the fluffer in that
yeah,
band.
Yeah, I was like the fluff girl. And, I mean, they literally got into a fist fight on stage.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like, it was pretty ridiculous. Because
Robinson Brothers. Wow.
And Kreinz like, number one is better, no? Kreinz number two is better.
It's like, if you hear, like, the dynamic we have, like, and it probably stems from that, where I'm like, you know, when we get together, I go, play whatever you want, Ryan. John, do whatever you want. And then I'll provide, like, ideas every now and then.
John, very nice shirt.
Does he get slightly overbearing?
No, not at all.
Excellent.
And I, my philosophy is, like, the opposite, because they're really controlling, and I'm really, like, let's see what y'all bring into the table here, you know? Like, let's have a big commune.
Awesome.
So, like, Katie and I played together for a summer, and that was great. We played in a band called Globetron 3000.
That's a good name. Globetron. That's a seller.
Thank you.
I can market that.
The numbers at the end of all the bands.
Yeah.
I'll start
Can
with
you go through a list of the band names you've had?
Yeah, so I played in, originally it was the Corrupt Senators. The Speakeasy Heroes were in around 2000. I played in Money Shot in college.
That sounds like a college. Hey!
In a band called Pistol Pete until we found out there was a gentleman named Pistol Pete who tours nationally under the name.
Oops.
That is a true Spinal Tap.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Change
on
the tour. And then Spank, I think, was the next one. Wow. Oh, actually, my first band was Leviathan, and that was in eighth grade. And we played Wild Thing, Smells Like Teen Spirit, and Slayer's Seasons in the Abyss.
Wow. Yeah, that's high aspirations there. That's a true high. So I've heard that you guys have made Dr. Demento. True or false?
Did you guys know this?
Yeah, Ryan, John, did you guys know this?
This is great news. I'm writing home.
You guys, we may force a resignation right here. Now, you know, I for one, and I'm sorry, Toby, when I was in high school, I hated Dr. Demento. Uh-huh. And I sort of hated the dudes that loved it. I couldn't understand it. So teach me, what's great about Dr. Demento? Because Dave over here, silent in the corner, loves Dr. Demento.
You too.
The thing is, if you've listened to The Good Doctor and you don't dig it, it's not for you.
Okay.
If you dig it, you're going to love it for life. Like,
yes.
All right. And I'll give the doctor this credit that he is 30 or 40 million times bigger than this motherfucker right here. So I got to give him some. So you've made Dr. Demento.
We've made it. Yeah, that's the pinnacle right
wow.
now.
Wow. With nice. What song?
Quitting My Job.
I got to ask, though, John Ryan, where are you at on the Dr. Demento? Could give a shit? Great. Whatever. Any press is good press?
So I was a big fan of Weird Al growing up.
Oh, no. And, well, at least he's got talent.
Although, I saw this guy rap Amish Paradise to a room full of people once. So
it was
Toby?
Wait a second. So I was at this,
it's on YouTube.
I was at this technology conference. And I was like, what can I do to really fuck with this crowd? And so
start this side of the room, white boys, stand up. All right, you're all white.
So I did my, because I always think, now I study communication in college, and they always say you want to come in with a big intro. Like, that's the whole thing. If you're doing a speech, do a big intro, and you can wrap it up, like, at the first 5 minutes. And so I was like, what can possibly do this? And if I were in the crowd, I'm going, if a dude got up there and sang Amish Paradise, I would be his, you know?
Wow.
Can you give us any of it?
Yeah, come on.
I need a few more.
You need a backbeat.
I need some backbeat here. Hitching up the buggy, churning lots of butter. Raise the butt on Monday, soon I'll raise another. I'm the pious guy that all the omelets want to be like. I'm a D's day and night, scoring points for the afterlife. But don't be vain and don't be whining, or else my brother, I might get medieval on you, honey. A local boy kicked me in the butt last week. I just smiled at him and I turned the other cheek. I really don't care. In fact, I wish him well, because I'll be laughing my ass off when he's burning in hell. I ain't never punched a tourist, even if he deserved it. An Amish with the truth, you know, food, that's unheard of. Ooh.
Dude, oh, I'm so waiting for the chorus.
Been spending most our lives living in an Amish paradise.
Oh, that was fucking
We're just
awesome.
Plain Mennonites living in an Amish paradise.
Wow. Now, is there any wrap-up to how that played out? I mean, did you get booted and dragged
off
the stage?
No, they loved it. They loved this shit. Well, what they loved, they didn't care about Amish Paradise. But I was the presentation was about how to use GarageBand to do a podcast or something.
Okay.
And so then I was like, see, I just recorded this. Yeah. That's awesome.
Liquid gold.
Okay, there you go. That's actually an acceptable setting. All right. So this song that you made it on Dr. Demento, which song was it?
So it's a nice little ditty called Quitting My Job.
Would you be willing to play it? Can you guys do it?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes.
Cue it up. Backstory there?
What do you mean?
Oh! Wow! You want to talk about wearing it on your sleeve? Have you ever had a job like that?
Should we actually clarify for all our listeners that the Dr. Demento song didn't actually have the profanity on.
Right, yeah. Doctor doesn't play as many swears as we'd hope. Yeah.
What do you think? Should we, you know, for the podcast, maybe you can actually play the song back to back with the noises in it, or at least just explain to people why Dr. Demento was interested in that?
Well, I can tell you how we did the animals. That might be interesting.
We recorded live farm animals at the
State
Fair.
Actually, we
brought him into the studio, and then his apartment manager was like, you can't do this. We did it out in the lobby. Yeah.
You're full of shit. Really? Yeah.
So for every
why
swear...
didn't you just pull it off the internet?
Oh, that's what we did.
Right? Oh, there we go. Hook, line, and sinker.
You were telling me off air that at first you tried fucking animals and hearing the songs that the things they came out of their mouths, right?
We were trying to get a good queef, a good
goat
queef.
Go queef! You ever seen the goatqueef.com?
Well, you guys have really stepped it up.
Check, is it available?
get our web lackey over there. Web
Dr.
Lackey.
Demento owns it.
Goatqueef.com. Wow.
So, yes, for every swear song on your album, for every swear word, I mean, you have some sort of animal sound that beeps over it, right?
Yeah,
so that's what Dr. Demento.
So, originally, I called Noah because I go, wouldn't it be funny if we had, like, a bleeped out version? Because on Dr. Demento, the first time I heard Piece of Shit Car by Adam Sandler was on Dr. Demento. And he didn't play the swear word version. He played the one with all the horn sounds. There's, like, tons of swear words. And, like, he played horn sounds, yells, like... And I always thought that version was, like, 10 times better than the real version. So I had this idea. I go, hey, no, we got this song with a bunch of swear words. Let's add some bleeps and bloops. And so he did it. And originally it was, like, laser sounds and guns. And there were a couple animals. I go, dude, let's do this again, but with animals.
Yeah, let's go the direction of the animals. Yeah. Huh? Nice.
And so he sent it back to me with all the animal sounds. And
did he at first try fucking the animals and then send you the sounds?
No, he lives in L.A., so...
Well, can't fuck animals in L.A.
I don't know.
It's a Midwest thing.
You know, I didn't even
ask. It's a Midwest
thing.
All right. Only farmers fuck animals.
You wouldn't understand. You're not from around here.
I know, but I'm trying to figure out why Midwesterners fuck farm animals.
I got a zero results for goat queef.
So you're saying it's available.
It's available.
I would like to spring upon you guys the Rockwell scale of rock and roll hardness. Now, this is a tool that Paul and I have developed to find out sort of where you guys rate. Paul, would you like to start out, or would you like me to start out?
I would love to start here.
All right, so...
Before we get started here, I'd like to know either as a band what you agree on, or individually, what are your three favorite swear words?
I don't know if this counts as one.
Duty does not count as a swear word.
Cunt sucker.
Whoa!
Right.
Fuckstick.
Fuckstick.
And a germane douche.
Germane douche. Excellent. Is he a guy like he plays in the NBA?
like
Kobe Bryant? Is that his nickname?
Or elementary school with him.
Germane douche.
I just misspelled douche. Fuck.
I don't know. I don't want to speak for y'all. Maybe we should.
Yeah,
some feedback here.
I don't like to say the C word. That's kind of off limits.
I'm with you. I totally agree.
Every time we say cunt, Tony gets
shut
red.
Shut up. Okay, if Toby says it, he's a guest.
Fuck, it's 1, 2, and 3 for me.
Yeah,
there you go.
I like,
all
like,
right.
Fucking A, you know, there's like,
George
that's
Carlin
different
like
than
that.
Like, fuck.
Yeah. Fucking A is a classic.
John is
fucking
good on
that.
Yeah,
fuck sticks.
Fuck, right? Yeah.
Fuck sticks is probably my favorite of the.
Fuck is the most versatile swear word.
Yes. Okay. In this section, please answer the following questions about living the rock and roll lifestyle.
Now, these will be scored, so discuss amongst yourselves the answer before giving final answer.
Okay. Question 1. Have you ever played live? 0 points for no. 2, yes, birthday parties and church services. Or 3, yes, in front of audience members who paid cover charges at the door.
Yeah, three.
Excellent.
Beautiful.
Willingly paid cover charges?
I didn't hear that word. That's split hairs here.
Okay.
People paid to be in the room. That's all that matters.
Number 2. Have you ever snorted cocaine off of Maggie McPherson's breast? 0, who's Maggie McPherson? 3, no, but we played at the Uptown Bar. 4, yes, one of the band. Or 5, yes, the entire band.
Do we want the points? Or?
I don't know.
You gotta, come on, you gotta answer honestly. The integrity.
Oh, 0.
I don't know who Megan McPherson
okay.
is.
Tony, do you want to explain that one now or afterwards?
I'm not going to pretend to know.
She was the lady who did booking in the early 80s for First Avenue, then quit, started the Uptown Bar. Old rumor that you used to, if you wanted a Friday or Saturday gig, you needed to snort cocaine off her breast. So if you guys had answered, that's an instant win. If you had actually done that, yeah. Instant win.
Yeah. Question number three. Have you ever been too drunk to play live? 0 points for no. 1, yes, but we played anyway. 3, yes, and got booed by fans. And 4, yes, and kicked off stage.
I've been kicked off stage for being too drunk.
What?
But as a band, we haven't.
I've forced the band, like, no curtain call, no encores, because I can't remember my middle name.
So that's 2.
Right? Yeah, so I think that's a 1. Yes, we played anyway.
Played anyway, and then Toby played says anyway. You got kicked off stage, but not for being drunk.
No, I got kicked off for being drunk. Ryan's
but
been
not
drunk
with,
on stage.
With the number 3.
Shall we do it? We'll do a combined average. We'll give him a 3
have
there
you,
for a combined.
Have you ever been
2.5.
Too drunk to...
2.5, yeah.
I've never been too drunk to play, but I probably haven't played my best. Maybe we'll put it that way.
Sorry. Hey, Paul, I'm overruling you. I pay the service fee, $19.99 a year.
Go ahead.
That's a 1.
That's a 1, you think? Even though he's been kicked off stage?
It wasn't with this current band. I'm sorry, man.
Okay,
this is a group effort.
Okay.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. Yes, but we played anyway.
That's fair. Away for free.
No. I'll pay $20 and fucking give him a 2.5, though.
Could I pee in your mouth? Would that be better?
You beat me to the punch. Yeah! First time!
Every pod, yes.
Wasn't very good, though.
Fuck off.
But good try. All right. Number 8. Question number 4. Have you ever toured? 0, no, just played local shows. 1, does driving to Duluth count? 2, yes, Upper Midwest. And 4, nationally.
0. We've never toured as a band.
Yeah.
Just so local. You, just how far out of the cities have you guys played?
Nah. How far do we have to go?
I would say Isani is touring in this case.
We're a cities band.
Okay, wow, guys.
Going to Duluth, motherfucker.
I mean, I've played there. Ryan's probably played a lot of places.
But not as a band.
The song catalog has been played from coast to coast.
That's
however,
true.
The three of us have not been on stage doing
it. If you were holograms and you played elsewhere, then we would count.
Then, that. Yes, coast to coast.
Yeah.
I mean, what if I was Jim and they were the holograms?
That's negative points.
All right, so we're going to say 0. It doesn't mean to play. It's just you don't get points for living the rock and roll lifestyle.
That actually expresses a certain comfort level. Like, listen, this is on our motherfucking terms, so the rest of you fuck off.
That's good for you guys.
Okay.
All right, question 5.
That negates the next question, which is what is your tour vehicle? But actually, they could score points on this, because what do you guys use to get to gigs?
Personal cars.
Yeah. I think every once in a while we try to consolidate, but for the most part, you know, it's 3 cars.
Okay.
We don't own the joint.
That's right.
Yeah. Bring your own shit.
I'm sorry, but we're going to have to subtract 2 points.
That's a negative 2 for taking. You don't actually even get together in the same vehicle to combine your shit to go.
It doesn't mean you're lame, because we're lame, because we're the fuckers that sit here in the podcast in the basement.
It's fine. We have a motto. The covers this.
I'm confident we'll finish strong.
Number 6. Do you have anyone who qualifies as roadies? -1 for no, 1 point for yes relatives, 3 for yes friends, and 5 for yes paid dudes.
We have friends, I would say. Joel has publicly proclaimed his roadiness.
Yeah, any guy, any dude, or any person you can get to carry your shit around is that's a big commitment.
Hey, a public proclamation of roadiness is pretty good.
Bavery retuned your guitar on stage once.
Bavery's my guitar tech.
Yeah. Oh, you have a guitar tech? Let's give him 4 for that.
Yeah, that's
let's,
cool.
Okay. Now, could you please soften up this next question, Mr. East Coast?
Well, why don't I just say what it's on there?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Sorry, guys.
If music to swear by, and he doesn't want me to swear.
It's fine.
Let's you don't it. Want me to swear on music to swear by?
Just say it.
All right, fine. There. Do you have any groupies, i.e. a person who regularly attends your live shows and might want to suck your dick?
The answer is yes, but I don't think groupie is the proper term.
Yes, let me qualify that. 0 points for no. I'm sorry, I'm turning these negative ones into zeros.
Go ahead.
1 point for some regular fans, which I think you guys would definitely qualify for. 2, some who party with us. Or 4, porn stars.
I've never made out with a fan, unless it was my girlfriend.
Yep, so you have, would it be safe to say you have some regular fans?
Did you heard the list of his girlfriends? So, that's like a huge list.
Yeah, so I know what you mean.
I think the definition, like a woman who comes to your shows and doesn't like your music, it's pretty much it.
No, I didn't say someone who does.
Maybe it's your wife or your fiance.
Is that what you were concerned about? Is it basically anybody, any fans that want to party with you, either at the show or after the show? Is that what you meant, right?
I kind of wanted to broaden it up to, have you guys ever played a gig or been offered a service or anything else because you've been in a band? Has somebody wanted to build you a deck just because you've been in a band?
I've definitely had offers of making out type of stuff, but I've never acted on them.
Well, no, yeah, whether you act on it or not, the offer is in it alone itself.
Did dudes count?
Well, sure they do. Paul goes to the Vegas lounge and gets a number.
Yeah, I get digits from gay guys.
Yep. So actually, you know, so you've actually, people have said, you're in a band, I think you're cool, even though I don't know you. Is that, that to me, that qualifies...
We're not, you know, the type of band we play.
Not this band. I can answer yes, but not this band.
Yeah, maybe O'Connor 3.
O'Connor 3!
That's a different, I mean, that's like version 2.0.
Alright, so is it fair to say some regular fans...
Like, who would drink a beer with you even after the game? Well, like, sure, dude, that was fucking sweet.
But I think we're stretching the merits of the question
No, no, I wanted... Paul and I really just threw this together in the last 20 minutes before this you guys got here, so...
This is a pilot test.
Mm-hmm. Groupies, no.
Okay.
Beers, yes.
Okay, we'll give it in between. All right, question 9. Have you ever wantonly defecated on stage? -3 points.
No, don't tell him, don't tell him.
All right.
Have you?
I personally haven't. I've seen it done.
No.
Trick question. If you had answered yes, it would have been -3 yes. points because you'd be a performance artist.
This is not the Gigi Allen fan club meeting.
Right.
I got a friend.
You know,
you have actually, wait a second. Toby has actually seen this done.
Well, so we're this is at the 331 club. We're on deck. The guy before us, I'll keep the name.
He had one on deck, too.
He was so drunk, he puked all over the microphone and all over the stage.
Right,
they wrapped
the stage was...
We need to get that band in here.
They wrap up the song and leave the stage, and we're like, what the fuck?
What just happened here?
Oh, my God.
Wow. Oh, that, yeah, to me, desiccated means shat, peed, or puke. So what the heck?
Should I ask the rest of these ones here?
Sure, go ahead. So you guys avoided the 3-point penalty.
Okay, one, you get 1 point, though, if the answer is no, but I sharted my pants once on stage. 2, if no, but I like poop jokes. And 4, no, but I peed my pants once because I was so drunk.
I like poop jokes.
Yeah.
That's 2 points.
All right.
Now, I have eaten Taco Bell for 6 days in a row, and I have nearly shat myself on stage. So there are, you know, that could normally happen, even though you don't mean it to happen.
It's like the runs.
Mike Watt talks about having to tape the bottom of his pants to keep the shit from coming out the bottom.
Beautiful.
Because he couldn't hold it together for 60 to 70 minutes.
Holy
so.
Shit.
Wow. Beautiful. That's a rock and roll lifestyle.
All right.
All right. 3 more here. This is not a question for Nate and Noah. Have you ever gotten to a fist fight with a bandmate or audience member during a
this
show?
This is for all of you guys.
And so it's 0 for no, but we respect each other far too much to do that. 1, yes, but just a minor scuffle. 2, yes, major argument. Or 4, yes, and I knocked the fucking person unconscious.
We're in the no. We're
laid
very,
back.
Very laid back.
Yeah, we got in an argument with a bartender once.
Oh, that would. I'd count that. Let's hear what.
I think that was 331 Club when she basically was ignoring us.
All right. She wanted to, like.
Yeah. And then I ordered from somebody else, and I don't know. She's like. And she said she didn't serve me because I rolled my eyes at her. And then she told that guy not to serve me. But I rolled my eyes because she wasn't serving me.
You
like,
eye rolled.
Wait, so you eye rolled? Were there any words exchanged?
Nope.
Oh, I can't quite give it to you for an eye roll. Listen!
Well, so afterwards, I'm like, but no, I like.
You're a motherfucking non-verbal eye roller.
Yeah.
How dare you come to our podcast? All right.
Like, I got stabbed at my brother's when they were in the band together. I got stabbed at one of their shows.
Fuck! A guy or you got stabbed?
No, a guy. I did, yeah.
You were totally fucking making that up.
Let's save that for the last question.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
I might
yeah,
be
exactly,
able to use
exactly.
that to your advantage. All right,
2 more survey questions and an open-ended question. Have you ever been recognized in public? You know, in the context of being a Kreinz number 3 band.
And that goes for all 3 of you, of course.
So, 0 points for a nope, only by Nikki. 1, yes, at the bus stop after the show once. 2, yes, by several regular fans. Or 4, yes, Prince knows me.
When have you been recognized?
I seem to recall, this is a long shot. I don't even know if it's true anymore. This might just be my recollection of events. I seem to remember being approached on the bus one time.
Well,
all right, that's cool.
But
every once in a while, I'll meet somebody, and then we'll figure out that they're like, you thought you looked familiar. I've seen you play.
All right. Well, that's
cool.
But it's not that they search me out. It's like I'm talking to them and like, They're like, you look familiar. Yeah. I don't know from where. Yeah. And like, oh, you're in Toby's band.
good enough. Yeah. I'll count that for 1 point for each of you. That's 1 point per occurrence. So what the heck?
And our final question, which is sort of a bonus question, is have you ever fucked a fish sandwich in the kitchen of a restaurant?
God?
No.
Does it have to be in the kitchen?
No. Whoa. Yeah. No, and is you get 0 points for no, and but you do get 10 points for yes, and then I ate it.
Actually, I'll give you guys 5 points if you know where that story came from.
Yeah.
All I can think of is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
The last podcast you guys did?
Kudos.
And it was delicious.
Apparently it's an old Zeppelin story.
Yeah, so Spin Magazine many years ago declared that the most debaucherous moment in... maybe the most sleazy moment in the history of rock and roll, where apparently, Robert Plant and Jimmy Page and gang apparently were having relations with seafood in the back of a restaurant Fisherman's Wharf.
Fish sandwich was a euphemism. I don't know.
Was that maybe?
There you go. Yeah, for waiter's mouth.
Yeah. According to the information we obtained, it was not euphemistically presented, but it may have been. Yeah. It might have been like Marianne Faithful or somebody like that.
All right, so I'm tallying this up. You guys have scored a grand total of 10 points.
All right.
You're in the lead. Clients number three is number one.
Now, this puts you squarely on top of zinc.
All right.
Which is not the most hard metal. You know, this is not the toughest metal in the world, but it's stronger than like cesium or anything like that. So you guys are a solid zinc. And you are our benchmarks by which to measure every other band that comes through these famed fucking doors.
So,
all right, gentlemen.
Last question, though. Just allow them.
Oh, yeah. You guys can score bonus points.
Yeah, so we just want to know, what is the most debaucherous thing that you guys as a band have done?
You guys have been around town a few times. You've played Big V's. Come on. Yeah. You've played the Terminal. What have you seen? What have you done?
I think, the craziest thing that I've seen is when Ryan... sprinted on stage before our CD release show. We had a big plan to run on stage together. Ryan's like, okay, go.
And?
What did he do?
That was it.
That was it? You ran on stage?
Yeah, nothing.
That's silly, not debaucherous, right?
I can't think of a debaucherous.
By the time we got together, like, you can call it professional musicians or just people who didn't care about being debaucherous, but like, you know. We treated it more like, oh, this is fun. We're going to go and play a show. And and then hopefully we don't get too smashed. And, oh, man, I got to work tomorrow. That
which the hardest thing is, like, the Tuesday night gig when you're done at 1 in the morning.
You wake up.
Or the other thing that's tough about Minneapolis is everything's a drive.
Yeah.
So we got, like, without, you know, the vehicle and the driver, it's...
Oftentimes it's hard to find parking.
I do have one thing that I wanted to ask Toby about in particular that we haven't talked about yet. Were we trying to wrap it up here? Because this can make the cut or maybe not make the cut. But... I want to know, and particularly since Dave's here, I want to hear you talk a little bit more, expand upon what you wrote about the idea that no matter how good your live shows are, no matter how famous you are at this point, or maybe even get, nothing compares to fucking hitting a buzzer shot at halftime.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
Can you explain that a little bit for all our audience members, particularly my friends Ed and Matt?
It's hard. Okay, let me start from scratch here.
This is off the website, blog.
But I mean, it's relevant to
when you're in the zone, like when you've got a crowd of let's say 500 or 600 people, and you hit this jump shot. So I just wrote a blog. I'll tell these guys. I wrote a blog entry the other day about how I'm always trying to reach the high that I got when I hit this jump shot in high school, and it's a real feeling that I have in my bones. It's like in every cell in my body, I can still feel it.
A halftime buzzer beater.
It's
right?
Like a halftime.
Not a game winner.
Not a game winner. Yeah, I wasn't that good. But honestly, it was the game of my life. I think I probably scored 20 points in the first half, and like I was knocking them down. It was like the first night of our run and gun offense, and our team sucked. And so just to even like be in the game was a joy. And so I anyway, I hit a big shot at the end. I won't call it big, but for me it was big. And ever since then, that's been kind of like the standard bearer by which I judge other experiences, like, and so far nothing has lived up to that, and I can't quite explain it.
We're sorry.
No, it's great, and we've had some great moments too. And
we're sorry.
I totally get where you're coming from. My biggest moment ever was hitting a basketball shot.
It's like my every cell in my body wanted to explode with excitement, and we've been. I would say we've been close. Like the CD release show was great. You know, when we have like a crowd of people that are digging us, I feel some of that.
But I haven't
that
quite.
That Valentine's show at the Hexagon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was pretty big. Mm-hmm. I was kind of surprised.
Did you pack the room?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the, I think a combination of the reception and the other bands were great. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when all the bands on the bill are good, then people will stick around because a band starts, you're like, oh, I'll stick around for this. And the crowd mm-hmm. builds. And then I think that was one of the shows that, like it makes you want to play more shows, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you play a show and you're like $3. I think I got peed on.
Nice. So hey, if I want to find out more information on Crimes Number 3, where do I go?
Goatqueef.com.
That was unexpected. Seriously, anything you need to plug?
Crines.com, CRYNS.com. That's
all right, good deal. Everything you'll ever want to know about these three gentlemen right there?
Yep.
All right. So what are you guys going to play to take us out? What do you got? I've heard
Tonight Was a Wonderful Night.
Yeah, let's do it.
Sure.
All right. Nice. So, hey, thank you, everybody, for listening to this shitty podcast. You got anything to email and tell Paul about? Email musictoswearby@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Until next time, Crines Number 3. Pardon the profanity.
Give it up.
One, two, three, four. Tonight, it was a wonderful night. The fight, it was a wonderful night. Dirty talk, it was a wonderful night. Sex with you. I gave Tom Cruise your number. I think you're number one. You're pretty nifty when you're thrifty. You look so good when you're 50.
That was a kind of a forced lyric there.
I'm your number one fan. I play in a rock band. And although we're not famous, I'd like to stick it in your anus.
Yes. You're 17 years old. You're fed with a silver spoon. Well, I've got a wooden spoon for your mouth. I like the way you look today. I've got your underwear right here. I bring it with me to the shower. I can masturbate for hours. I called you on the telephone 100 times. I think that I'm a good talker. The police think I'm a stalker. 17 years old.